prepare your heart for the study in series part 2 on our spiritual blessings among the celestials in Christ. I read again verse 3 in Ephesians 1. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. Now then, continuing in the third chapter, with the 14th verse, I finish this on out. On this behalf, am I bowing my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, after whom every kingdom, every family, every fatherhood, in the heavens and on the earth, are being named, that he may be given you, in accordance with the riches of his glory, to be made sons with power through his Spirit in the man within us, Christ dwelling your hearts through faith, that you, having been rooted and grounded in love, should be strong to grasp together with all the things, what is its breadth and length and depth and height, to know besides the knowledge transcending love of Christ, that you may be completed for the entire complement of God. That I may make this just a little more helpful to you, I'm reading the same passage here from the 14th verse of the 3rd chapter out of the Amplified New Testament. I want you to follow in your Bible and listen to this as you see the comparison. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father, from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of, that you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge, without experience, that you may be filled through all of your being, unto all the fullness of God, that is, may have the richest measure of the divine strength, and become a body through holy, filled, and flooded with God himself. A number of years ago, I was ministering in Washington, our capital city. And while there, I confided to some of our brethren, the leaders, and I said, one of the greatest, the grandest thoughts that has ever come upon my heart is in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, where that you may be filled with the entire complement of God, that you may be completed, filled full, everything filled out complete with the entire complement, the entire filling of fullness of God. I said that stays in my mind night and day as I think about it. And as I was talking with those brethren, everything became completely silent. But not a word was passed, not a word was answered. And so all the subject changed to something else. A year later, I came back, and we came together. The question was asked, Brother Addy, what did you mean when you said that this passage was up on your mind so much? Now, that is what I try to say to you. Beloved friends, we get so thoroughly acquainted with God's Word. I mean, we're acquainted with the words. We're acquainted with the sentences. We've got the man on the tip of our tongue. We can say that you may be completed with the, for the entire complement of God. We can just send it off. But somebody asks it, what does that mean? Then we find that when we open our mouths, it hasn't got a thing in, they haven't got anything but breath, just wind. No answer, no realization, and it's sad. And it's why that I'm trying my best to be helpful. Now when we begin to talk about the spiritual blessing wherewith God has raised us in His beloved, blessed us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. I last Sunday tried to make it clear that we are going to have to disassociate these spiritual blessings from all terrestrial and material blessings. As long as we think about mansions in the holy city, the streets of gold, gates of pearl, and carpet crowns, golden slippers, all of those things that have come down traditionally to us, we're certainly going to miss out on what God means about us, whether He has placed us in His beloved. He didn't promise you to make you a mansion, or give you a heart and crown, or to give you golden slippers, or any of those things. That is the work or the words of childish thinking. And when it comes to maturity, we find, as I said before you last Sunday, that the Ephesians, spirit and spiritual are used 13 times. This definitely and specifically indicates that the revelation to be the work of the divine spirit upon the human spirit for calling, endowing, and quickening persons, individuals, into the conscious perception, realization, and appreciation of the spiritual blessings of great glory, sonship, the position of a son, holiness, righteousness, joy, peace, glory, honor, power, in the divine purpose and order belonging specifically to and in the realm of the imperishable, the incorruptible, in the immediate presence of God Himself and Christ and celestial beings for display the transcendent, exceeding, immeasurable riches of His grace. Any kindness to us in Christ Jesus, for the Lord are the praise of His glory. There are some of the blessings, the spiritual blessings, that we can look forward to, that we are to enjoy. Nothing material about it. Nothing material. It has to do with being filled full of the entire complement or fullness of God Himself. That is what our spiritual blessings are concerned with. When I began to talk with you about the entire complement of God, I explained to go back and speak to you briefly of the invisible entities and attributes on which I spoke to you last year of God. Now when we begin to look into the attributes and invisible entities of God, we find that we must not confuse them. For instance, we find in the invisible attributes, He is termed the living God. He has life in Himself. He is the fountain and source of all life. Therefore, He's going to give us life in ourselves. We're going to have life in ourselves. That is the first of the great spiritual blessings wherewith we are blessed. We're going to have life in ourselves. God is going to so feel and change my being, my body, and my whole being, that I will have life in myself. You will have life in yourself. You'll be filled with that entity of God. Next, there is coming, he is called the invisible God, because he is spirit. We will not take on the order of invisibility, because we're going to have a body. Our body is going to be changed, glorified, immortal, incorruptible, and it will be visible. We'll be visibly embodied, just as the Lord Jesus Christ himself is visibly embodied. He has a body. Praise him alone. He alone has immortality. Remember that immortality can only be applied to a body that was formerly placed in motion and corruptible in the sense of being mortal. Now, his body did not see decay. He was resurrected, and he alone has immortality. Immortality is never applied to God in the scriptures, rightly translated. God is incorruptible because he's spirit. He's invisible, and he's spirit. Therefore, we are to partake of life with him as being immortal, incorruptible, of that fullness of God. Second, or third, the incorruptible God. God is incorruptible, and so will we enter into that incorruptibility or immortality. And I spoke last Sunday also that he is the holy God, who is like unto thee, O Jehovah among gods, who is like to thee, glorious in holiness. For I am Jehovah your God, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am holy. I presented to you a bright, holy God last Sunday, where he was spoken of as holy, holy, holy. Now when we turn to Revelation 4, 1 to 8, we read again that the messengers, the creatures around the throne of God, have no rest day and night, say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who art and who is coming. God is holy, not only he affirms it, but he wills his holiness to all of his creatures. This is the will of God, your holiness. And to come into his presence, we must be holy. God is holy in the threefold order, that he is holy in his purity of being, purity of rightness, and purity of willing. That is God in his holiness. Purity of being, purity of righteousness, and purity of willing. God wills you, wills me, wills every one of his creatures yet to be holy as he is. And that is one of the entities of the invisible God that we are to be filled with in due time when we are blessed with all spiritual blessings among the celestials in Christ. We find that he is the only wise, omnipotent God. Now, when we come to this, the only wise God, we find that we are to be filled with the wisdom of God to the fullest extent. Why? Because God has purposed that in the church, which is the body of Christ, that he is going to make his most apparent wisdom known to the sovereignties and authorities among the celestials. So, what will be some of your spiritual blessings? The wisdom of God will be poured into your heart and mind as members of the body of Christ until you can make that multifarious wisdom known to the sovereignties and authorities among the celestials until they are reconciled to the peace made in the blood of the cross. These changeability are the permanent, abiding, imperishable spiritual blessings wherewith we are graced in the body of Christ. Now, as long as we are thinking over here in the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom, and the kingdom program and message, when God's glory, the knowledge of God's glory will cover the earth as the waters form a covering to the sea, you don't read anything about that. You're reading about that they're going to have allotments in the earth, they're going to have allotments in the land, and they're going to toil with their hands, they're going to make this and make that, they belong and enjoy the work of their own hands, they're going to eat and drink and be merry, they're going to have all of those things, and they're going to have life, they're going to have the abundant life, yes, but it's a terrestrial life, not a celestial life. They're not going to be eating and drinking and farming going on up there in the celestial. That's on the earth in the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is an entirely different thing. But the trouble is, we have been reared and we have been schooled in the circumcision teaching or the scriptures that relate to Israel for the kingdom and for the nations in relation to them. And in this glorious kingdom of God that will cover the earth as the waters form a covering for the sea. Yes, wonderful blessing and glory and grace. We've been schooled in that, and the moment we begin to talk about the church, which is the body of Christ, and our realm yonder among the celestials, we just give us a big armful of all of this, you know, and take it right on up with us. We want it up there too. We've got to have the rocking chairs, we've got to have a mansion, we've got to have a heart and crown, we've got to have all these terrestrial things with us up there, instead of getting this thing rightly divided and leaving the terrestrial down here and think and rejoice in the celestial. That is, if you have been called in the body of Christ. You can't go on with this thing just all muddled up like this. No, we have gone too far with it now. We've played with it. We've just been too satisfied. We decide that that's all we know the truth. And so on. Now then, we're going to be filled with the wisdom of God in the fullness. Not only that, but God is the infinite God. In that He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. Now we're going to be filled full of His power. In that power that will enable us to go to the utmost regions of the celestial universe. We will not have to have an airplane. We won't have to have flying saucers. We won't have to have missiles. I heard one yesterday that really stopped me for a while. I guess you heard it too, going over the radio. They come up with something new. Just like a square, something like a mattress. And you can get on it and just float around in the room wherever you want to. You just touch the button and float around in the room. All right. And now then, they're talking about the time will be when we won't have automobiles, won't even have an airplane, won't have roads, highways. They're just going to get up on the little mat. They go, well, I've heard about those circuits, you know, that they think. Talk about in India, you know, the floating circuits. Well, they've already come up with it. They're now at work on designing the order in which they will be manufactured so the people are traveling. And you won't be on the bumpy roads. I don't know what they're going to do about meeting and passing one another, but I suppose if they can get up there, you can float around and miss each other like the birds do. Anyhow, I just passed that along, and I'm uncharging a cent for it. But don't take it too seriously. The thing that I want you to take serious is the fact that there's coming a time when the body of our humiliation that is earthbound, terrestrial, is going to be transformed. Going to be transformed into the glorified likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ's body, His body of glory. And we're going to be filled so full with the power of God that we can go and come in our mind. Now we can go and come. We can go wherever our ministry calls us, yonder among the children. There is the great work that will be. And that is one of the wonderful blessings to think about, that we're going to be so empowered that we will not be confined in one little place. Time, space will be out of place, and we will be living in the immediate presence of God, filled full with His power, until our mind will be the power through which we will direct our move from place to place in the great administration that He has called the church, which is the body of Christ. That will be the complement for completing the entire universe. That's the complement for filling it full. To get this clear in your mind again, the seven invisible entities express the essential fullness and plenitude or completeness of the essence of the living, invisible, incorruptible, holy, only wise, infinite, almighty God. And I am to be recipient of that, and you are to be recipient of all of that when we are glorified with our Lord. God is all in Christ now. He is all in Christ now. When the church, which is the body of Christ, is caught up to meet Him in the air, then we're going to be filled full of the entire continent of God, each member of the body of Christ, and then placed in the church. Christ is God's continent now. Then Christ and the church together become God's continent for completing the whole universe. And it is in the church and in Christ Jesus that God's great operation will be carried out until the universe is complete. How wonderful it is to see that when we are there, glorified together with Him, that we'll enter in to that entire fullness of God. We're going to have be filled in our body so full that we will be living images of the invisible God. Wherever we'll go, we'll represent God. We'll display God in all of His power, in all of His glory, in all of His wisdom, in all of His love, in all of His grace. Why? Because He's going to be dwelling in us with the entire continent of His being. And each one will be a living image and excitement of the invisible God. That's something of the spiritual blessings wherewith we are linked in His beloved Son. It's not only about having a mansion and those things. It's talking about being in a position where you can be a blessing to others. That's the meaning of it. It's being in a position, and God has predestinated us to have a place of a son for Him. A son for Him. And we'll be sons of God. And we'll partake of His power and glory and His dignity and His authority and His love and joy and grace and everything that makes us God. It is going to be dwelling in me, in you, in every individual who becomes a member of the church, which is the body of Christ. That is to be for the purpose of completing the whole universe. I want to call your attention to one other item this morning about some of these spiritual blessings with which we are great in the love. And The first of it is about glory. Let's look at the word glory. We sing about glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. I don't say this discouragingly, but I say that I just can't follow where Christ in you a glorious expectation. It's the expectation of glory. It's a glorious expectation, but we lose the real word. The real word is the expectation of glory, not a glorious expectation. It's the expectation of glory. What is this glory? It's the glory of God. We need to get that clear. And so we look into the scriptures, and what do we find? Glory is one of the attributes of grace. That which grace grandly and resplendently displays itself. The ultimate of predestination and coordination. That is what we're predestinating. For the praise of His glory. The praise of His glory. The Lord of His glory. You keep reading that in your Bible over and over of the members of the body of Christ. We find that glory denotes the brightness, the effulgence, the splendor of the inaccessible, unapproachable light of the perfect excellencies of God in all the fullness of His majesty and dignity. It's His glory, it's the luminosity. Christ is dwelling in that today. He's dwelling in that light. The light of His glory. If you read it, you're familiar with it. But I want to read it for you again at this time, that you may rejoice in it. It's in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and beginning with verse 14. Begin with verse 13. I am charging you in the sight of God, who is vivifying all, and Jesus Christ, who testifies the ideal of our temptation before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this precept unspotted, irreprehensible, unto the advent of our Lord Christ Jesus, which He will be showing in its own era, who is the happy and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, making His home in light inaccessible, whom not one of mankind perceives nor can be perceiving, to whom be honor and might eonion. Amen. Christ is making His home in light inaccessible. What is that light? It is the glory of God. The glory of God, the luminosity of God, the effulgence and splendor of that light. And, beloved friends, the point that I want you to see in this, that when we enter into the glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, what will it be? You will have that glory, the luminosity of God, filling your heart and your life and your body until it will, you will be a living, visible image of the invisible God. That's the meaning of glory. Let me go just a little further here about this glory. This glory then, in all of its reality, it creates impressions on the senses and minds of God's creatures by the brightness, the splendor of the light of glory of God, creates a highly favorable opinion and esteem. Consequently, it calls forth reverence and praise and adoration and worship. That's the meaning of glory. Glory. Let's notice this. Paul was on his way to Damascus. He barely felt that he was doing the will of God. And as he was on his way, just before he reached the Damascus gate, he saw a light out of heaven. It flashed upon him, and it was a bulb, the noonday sun. A light so glorious that it just blotted out the noonday sun. It'd be good to sit down and think on that a while. You know how bright the sun can shine here at times. Well, I'm told that there in Damascus, in Palestine, that it's unbelievable. How bright and glistening that sun can shine at noontime. And yet here Paul was walking along, and the others with him, and all at once this light that flashed down there so bright that the noonday sun was blotted out. There is the thing that I want you to take to your heart about glory. That was the glory of God. Paul saw the glory of God, and he saw Christ in that glory. And it was so bright that it blinded him. Just seared his eyes. And it was for 3 days that he sat in darkness, thinking on the brilliancy of that light of glory that flashed upon his mind, until Ananias came and God healed him and still fell from his eyes, as it were, and he began to see again. In that. But he never forgot that glory of God that he witnessed there on the way to Damascus, and it changed him and filled him and surprised him to think that there has never been another like Paul. Why? Because he tells about this, you know, in a very peculiar way. He said that he was seen by, the Lord was seen after he rose from the dead by the 12 apostles, and he was seen by Peter and James and so on. Then he was seen by 120 and so on. And he said that last of all, he was seen by me. As one who was born before time. Paul was the last one to see Christ and the first one to see. The last one to see and the first one to see. He has already seen in the glory, as he will be when he comes to set up his kingdom here on earth. Just like Israel will see him in that day. When they come in power and glory, sun shall be darkened, moon shall not give a beam, the stars shall fall, and the glory of God will cover the earth. And he with a luminosity, and every eye shall see him as he comes in that glory. The Paul has already seen him. He was the last one to see it in the person. He's already seen him. He knows what it's like. And therefore, dear little friends, that's what I'm talking about. This glory, this luminosity that we speak of here, and this glory creates in the minds of creatures the highly favorable opinion. It is the thing that arrests them, their attention, and so it's for the praise of His glory, for the Lord of His glory, for the display of His glory, that goes on and on and on. So that, dear little, is a part of the spiritual blessings for which we are blessed among the elect. When we are exalted there with Christ, up above every sovereignty and authority and power and dominion and every nameless name, that's a high exaltation. There are great sovereigns and dignitaries, sovereignties and dignitaries among the elect, in the great realm of the celestial kingdom, yonder in heaven. With their sovereignties and authorities and powers and dominions there, just remember that Christ is already exalted above all of us. He's already above us. And we are to be seated with Him there, exalted above us. Every sovereignty, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that's named. And there, in that glory, we are going to display the transcendent riches of God's grace and His kindness to us in Christ Jesus, for making known to those creatures, for arresting them, bringing them in a attention that they will want to see and understand and rejoice in this wonderful blessing wherewith they see us from. Until the whole universe is reconciled in the perfect peace, made in the blood of the cross of the Son of His love. Beloved friends, that is something of the spiritual blessing for which we are graced in the beloved. Last of all, let me say this. Let us try with all our understanding and prayerful studies to disassociate our spiritual blessings from such things as temporal blessings, such things as mansions, such things as anything that will be put in the form of a temporal affair. We must get away from that. We must think in the realm of the Spirit. And in that, we then find exactly why Paul, when he wrote this wonderful epistle to the church, which is the body of Christ, or the church which is the body of Christ. He didn't write to the local church of Ephesus, nor any other local congregation. He wrote it to all of those who constitute the ecclesia, which is Christ's body. And in that, notice the salutation, I mean the conclusion of it. The conclusion of this Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. Notice how wonderful this is put. Peace, speak to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all through a loving our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruption. In incorruption. Our King James shows us also completely. In incorruption. Why? I told you in the beginning 13 times. Spiritual use. Showing that this belongs to the realm of the spiritual, the celestial, in the presence of God, in the immediate presence of God. Nothing but the incorruptible, the imperishable can exist there. Now we can love one another with a temporal love. We can love one another, don't you know, in a minute. But Paul is talking about those who love Christ with an incorruptible love, in incorruption, a loving in spirit, apart from any fleshly feelings, emotions, and foolish activities. It's a spiritual tie that relates and binds in the imperceptible, the imperishable, the incorruptible. Grace be with all who are loving our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruption. And let me just finish this with this word. I'm not predicting. I'm not being dogmatic. But I want you to know that this doesn't extend too widely. In bold. In other words, when you begin to look around in your fellowship, that fellowship will not be so wide that loves the Lord in incorruption. Oh, they love the Lord, yes, but they love Him in that relationship that is terrestrial. That relationship that belongs to the kingdom and program. And that's all right. I'm not condemning that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm saying that this very closing part here separates the whole thing. There are thousands and multitudes saved, rejoicing in the love of God in Christ for their salvation with a terrestrial glory and blessing and bliss and happiness in it. Yes. But listen, when you come to the body of Christ, that is for all who love the Lord Jesus Christ in intellect, in spirit. And you can't put anything else in it. You can't even put any thinking in it beyond that. It's got to be right in the realm of these spirituals that I've been talking about this morning. And beloved, I talk to you with that out of my heart because I know that I have not been definite on this as I should have been. And I'm endeavoring to make it more definite and clear that you will see that this last phrase here separates Ephesians from every other epistle in the Bible. What we've done, it's way up here. The others are down here. Now, things in some of the others, like Philippians and Colossians, that's long up there, yes. But listen, this book of Ephesians cannot be brought down here on the level with the rest of the scriptures. We've done that, yes, sir. We've done that because of our wrong thinking, our confused thinking in our mind. It belongs to the intellectual, the spiritual, the realm of the immediate presence with God, younger. And you can't localize it, bring it down here and localize it at all. It belongs to the realm of the immediate presence of God in Christ and the celestial being up there. And therefore, Paul finished it in a way that we never could mix it if we were mismatched and believe it in our hearts. Grace be with all who are loving our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruption. You've got to leave the earth, it's correct. You've got to leave the physical. You've got to leave the total. Then you must think in the realm of the celestial and the spiritual, how you're mixing it all up, and this you can't mix. You may think you can. You're suffering loss in that. It is. May God bless you and thank you to see the clearness of this that will be a rich blessing for all the days of your life. I want to see you next Sunday and next Sunday. The Lord bless you. Our God and Father, we thank you for this morning together. We pray that we may have awakened in the heart here this morning those things that will be a blessing to each and every one and lead us closer into that relationship with each to which we have been called in the body of Christ. And all thanks and praise be unto thee in his blessed name. Amen. Amen.